Show. I know everyone is looking around and thinking, okay, so 2024 is quickly coming. A while ago, people were like, well, 2024 is far away. It is not far away. It is actually, we'll be here before we know it. And there are a few people out there that have been working tirelessly to get to the bottom of the chaos that has ensued in 2020 and 2022 and well before that. But unbelievable things have come out of my guest today. He's worked quite a bit. You've seen a lot of his work with James O'Keefe putting out a lot of information that is very disturbing about how our elections are rigged, what is going on financially. On my show, I talk a lot about Act Blue and Win Red, and that they're basically the Uniparty's conglomerate billionaire status quo machines to some extent. And Chris Gleason is somebody who's exposed so much and is really one of our big hopes for 2024. So thank you for joining me, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Can you tell my audience a little bit about your background? You didn't start out being a election fraud detector your whole life.
No, I didn't. I actually ended up getting involved in this insanity of conspiracy theory and election denying by accident. And it's kind of funny. I've been in software in one way, shape or form or another, pretty much my entire career. Back in 1997, I invented a search engine for mortgage loan programs before most banks had websites. Wow. And we did some really cool stuff back then. I ended up doing some really interesting, fun, cool stuff with that. And probably about 2014-ish, I got involved with, really heavily involved with coming up with an alternate censorship-free social communications platform. Right. And we it took us a while to build a team and to get things going. But by 2017, we were coding our own platform and doing some pretty cool stuff. And then in 2018, Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey, and Google, and the wonderful Center for Internet Security digitally assassinated me and a pile of my friends.
Yeah.
Couple of weeks before the midterm elections, because we were very effective at what we were doing.
Right.
And so fast forward between, 2018 into 2020, we were building our own platform, and Donald Trump announced that he was going to launch his own thing. And so I ended up reaching out to a mutual friend of ours, Roger Stone. Yep. And I said, hey, your friend, he's trying to build this thing. I've got something that will solve most of his problems here. And so I started working with Roger and trying to get Trump to adopt what we were building. And things didn't quite work out, but that's okay. I started working a lot with Roger on some projects, and I started helping out on this one data project in Washington State. And what we found was astounding.
Yeah.
We found thousands of people who were making thousands of campaign contributions in a single year. And, they weren't George Soros. They were, okay, your average retiree. And so I'm like, this doesn't look right. So we started looking in some other states. I started doing another data project in Oklahoma, and I found a match there. And then I'm like, this is going on in Florida.
Right.
And bingo. And it's been hair on fire since, exposing this nationwide.
Yep.
And so here we are now.
I know. But what you found is so disturbing. It's, I do a live Q&A for just my group, my VIPs on Sunday night. And we were talking about this last night, and I brought up this NU and what is going on there, because people want to know what they can do. And I want you to explain what you found, because everyone in our country can actually go see if they this has happened to them. And I think that it really motivates people to understand the level of duplicity, and that they, and the other part about this too is they don't care. Anyone, these people do not care about we the people or our sacred individual votes on a massive scale. And it's really got to stop. So can you explain what you found and why it affects every single voter in America, regardless of who you vote for or why you vote? But it seems to me like an organized effort throughout the country.
Well, it is. It's actually an ongoing massive election fraud / RICO enterprise.
Right.
And it, like anything, it needs fuel to run. And the fuel for the election fraud mafia is this illegal money. And it's a very, very highly sophisticated and very complex enterprise operating at a scale that every day I'm literally shocked by the additional stuff that we find. I mean, you know, and just as I say, there's nothing else that can possibly shock me. I get shocked.
I know. So it's what's going on here is that they and this is not just with Act Blue. It's with both.
No, it's with WinRed.
Right, WinRed too. So they. Yep. So I talk out openly about, I think Act WinRed's campaign, especially their text campaign. And I always say to people, you got to scroll down. First of all, they don't like Trump or Tucker, but they use anything that happens to them to raise money. You think you're donating to Trump. You scroll down. Oftentimes you're getting these crazy guilt-ridden text messages saying that they're from DeSantis or they're from Jim Jordan, or they're not from any of them. They're from WinRed. And you scroll down. It's the money's not even going to who they're featuring. If you look at the bottom, it's going to some other place. They're picking the candidates. They're allocating the money. And what they're doing also, and what you guys discovered, was they are donating money in people's names multiple times to get by the laws.
Thousands.
Yeah. So explain if I'm a woman in a, you know, in Oklahoma and I donate once, say to WinRed or Act Blue, I think I'm donating to say Jim Jordan. And then what happens from there?
So usually it'll take a couple of times, but it depends on who you're donating to. Right.
Right.
So WinRed, they're not nearly as sophisticated as Act Blue is. So one of the nexuses that we found would be Move On, right? So moveon.org,
right.
That's a good one. Okay. That's a telltale one, because what you see is somebody, so the lady from Oklahoma, she may make a contribution, or shows that she's making a contribution to Move On.
Right.
And then the next year, she's made quite a few more. And then by year three, we're talking full out, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 campaign finance contributions a day, every day. And it just scales up from there. And Act Blue does allocate funds how they want to,
right?
Depending on who they're funneling these funds to. And all of that's done programmatically, because this operation cannot, Granny is not sitting there on her couch going, just what doesn't happen, you know? And what we're seeing is we'll see these individuals who have made 12,000 campaign contributions in a single election cycle. And so, you know, 20,000, it's like mind numbing. And so there's just no way that Granny's doing this.
Right.
And then when we talk to Granny or Grandpa and we ask them, about their payment history or their donations, they're like, yeah, I'm a huge Act Blue supporter, you know, or I'm a huge WinRed supporter. I'm trying to do, trying to help. So how many do you think you give? Oh, maybe 20. Oh, 20. Huh? Okay. So that then you didn't make 65,000? They're like,
exactly.
No. And so, you know, what we find is that some of these elderly people,
yeah,
you know, they fall into different categories. They fall into the, yeah, I'm a supporter. I had no idea that this is going on. Here's my bank statement. Here's my credit card statement. See, I'm telling you, I didn't make all of these campaign contributions.
Right.
Then you have the other ones where they're like, yeah, I did it.
Right, right.
They're like, they're the people who are okay with the cheating because it's for their party.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you have the other people who had no idea. They may have donated one time. And next thing you know, they're showing up making campaign contributions in five different states.
Right.
You know, on the same day, the same dollar amount to the same PAC, and they're in five states.
Unbelievable.
So
yeah, and people have to understand here, what we're also saying is that they don't know about it because it's not coming out of their bank statement. Once they, it appears that once they register on one of these things and donate some money, then at that point, their information and everything, and we talked about this also when we went up with Bobby Payton back when he was running, and he was looking at all of these contributions similar from your work, basically the same stuff, where these people don't even know. So once they are in the system at either of these conglomerates, and like you said, Move On, there's a whole bunch of other ones, then they basically steal their identity. It's identity theft. They don't know that all these contributions are being made. They're just using their name. And, you know, I don't know, but, you know, none of us read the, and you know this from your software companies, a lot of people don't read what they check off when they're like, you know, checking the boxes. They don't even know if it's baked in the sauce that they can use their name again, but that is what they're doing, correct?
Yes. And one of the things, so the other thing that we see them doing on both sides is they'll set the contributions that they make to recurring as default. And so,
right,
you know, grandma thinks she's given $5. Next thing you know, grandma's getting hit $5 every month.
Yeah.
Grandma doesn't know.
Right.
And then, you know, because everybody gets statements electronically, a lot of people don't even get paper statements, they're not looking and they don't know. And there was a guy in New York by the name of George York. Oh, and yeah, that was his case. And he got real mad. He reached out to ActBlue and he said, hey, stop doing this. And I rescind all my transactions. And then they didn't. And they kept hitting his card. And so then a year goes by, year and a half goes by, and then he's like, hey, you know, you guys are a fraudulent organization and you need to stop this. So this one guy, George York, he ends up complaining to ActBlue. They did nothing. He ends up complaining to the FEC. They did nothing.
Right.
So then he ended up filing formal complaints. He filed a formal complaint to UBS, who was his bank.
Right.
He filed a formal complaint to the FEC. He filed a formal complaint to Letitia James. He filed a formal complaint to Alvin Bragg, to Chuck Schumer. And you know what happened?
They investigated him. That's the next step.
They investigated it and they said, there's nothing to see here. Right,
exactly.
Don't worry about it. However, ultimately, he kept at it and he kept complaining. And he even changed his credit card.
Right.
And they kept charging him until the day he died.
Oh, my God. And then we have people that they are actually opening credit cards or you know, throwaway yeah. credit cards in their names to continue mm-hmm. doing this so they don't see it. And then the other, they're creating false identities in people's names and doing it that way. I mean, it's coming from all sides. But really what this is, and I've reported a lot on my show on the nefarious, in my opinion, Arabella Partners, New Venture Fund, you know, Tech and Civic Life, which is Zuckerberg, obviously Open Society. They're on the right too. I'm not saying they're not. These people just are incredibly egregious. But what they are, Tides Foundation, they're clearinghouses. So a lot of people think that they're donating money to one thing, but once that money is given to them, then they allocate the money as they see fit. So that's what's happening a lot too. And the other thing is that these billionaires, like there was Hans Berg Wies, who put in hundreds of millions of dollars to fight Trump. And he's not an American citizen. So once he put the money in, then, you know, into Act Blue, then they have to allocate it through these people that are our citizens. So there's probably a lot of foreign money going through this cycle as well, because they can't donate.
Enormous.
So talk a little bit about that. It's really important to understand.
Yeah. So what we see is that there's the scope and scale of this. We're talking billions upon billions of dollars. So, I mean, just in the 2020, you're looking at about $5 billion that we see that doesn't look right.
Right.
$5 billion, that's in one cycle, you know? And then if you go backwards, you see really what's going on. So you do have your foreign money. And here's the thing to think about, right? The scope and scale of this operation, okay, is such that it's so sophisticated, and it's so well funded. I mean, I work with a couple of nonprofits, and we're trying to raise money for a couple of servers to help us reduce all of the work that we're doing and make it more efficient, right?
Yeah.
And we're not asking for, you know, millions upon millions of bucks.
Right.
We're asking for a couple $100,000, right? We can't raise it.
I know.
I can't raise it. I mean, here we are. We're on all the shows. We're talking to people.
I know.
But yet, all of this money is mysteriously flowing into all of these people who nobody likes. I mean, you know, nobody likes these people.
No.
And so, you know, it's kind of funny. It is crazy.
And it goes to so many places too. People have to understand, like, once the money is allocated, then it goes to, like, not just ads, but it goes to, like, paying people. It goes to just PR, it goes to lawfare. I mean, this is not. It is so insidious. I wish they would take all private money, all PACs. I don't think any of it should be legal. You know, it should be by the people, for the people, period. But, you know, this is where we are right now, and we're going into another cycle. So let's talk a little bit about that, the danger of the foreign money going through these opaque institutions. This should be completely illegal, but what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing is that a lot of this is CCP money. A lot of it's coming through Qatar, you know, a lot of it's coming through. We know all about the Iranians that supposedly hacked the election, which, yeah, right, you know, like two Iranian hackers. So that is a big danger here. This should be a red flag for everyone that foreign money is being used like this.
It is, and it should be. And so we're fighting a really good fight right now in Wisconsin.
Good.
We hit Janet Prostakowicz for her illegal campaign finance contributions. Josh Call, former Perkins Coie attorney, former federal prosecutor, now the attorney general for the state of Wisconsin. We've hit Alvin Bragg.
Right.
We're hitting Letitia James. We hit Fannie Willis. We hit Warnock. You know, we're hitting them with this. We're documenting it, but we are meeting a lot of resistance. And so, you know, one of the places that we're meeting resistance with is at the FEC. So Dara Lindenbaum, she was the counsel for the Fair Fight PAC in Georgia. You know, the PAC that did all the ballot harvesting and the mules?
I think it's Stacey Abrams is involved with that.
Yes, yeah. Stacey Abrams. Yeah. So Dara was the corporate counsel for them. And she did such a great job with Raphael Warnock that in February, Joe Biden named her to be the chairperson of the Federal Elections Commission.
But this is what they do on that side. They, you know, it's called bribery in other words. This is so, and listen, I just want the American people, because I'm full on, there's a uniparty, there's not a left and right. We are all, you know, anyone right now in America that's walking around feeling like they're a victim, guess what? We're all victims of this corrupt, captured government that does not care about us, is not working for us. And we really have to understand that in terms of stuff like this, I can't understand how people are divided left and right when it's really about freedom and liberty for all, for real. and people don't get it. But what you said too, to me before we started talking, was that, and this is on both sides, that there were people that were okay with the cheating because it was for their side. This to me is such a fundamental problem in America right now that really needs to be addressed about the sides. And that as long as it's cheating for your side, because you brought up Letitia James and all them, even the prosecutions, you know, a lot of these cases are totally frivolous, especially the one in Georgia. Obviously, you've exposed a lot of stuff there. But the people on the left right now, and they're not the left, they're a totally captured entity, that they're not Democrats, folks. But whatever the case may be, they think they are. They're okay with it because it's their side. Are you seeing this more and more? Because that's what's happening with you going to the FEC or any of these people. They're loaded with people that are picking a side instead of picking America.
So RICO was originally constructed to help deal with this. It was the Racketeering Influence Corrupt Organization Act. Because what had happened was the mafia, right, had infiltrated all sorts of legitimate organizations,
right,
and that's essentially what ended up happening when Obama got elected and came in. He fundamentally transformed America into a massive election fraud RICO enterprise, and so that's where we started to see the smurfing begin. And we saw it also begin with the motor voter stuff that Eric Holder spearheaded after he got drummed out of D.C. And that was his pet project.
Right.
And, you know, David Becker, and he started, you know, Eric. And right. By the way, what we're seeing is the Eric system has been used to help create these accounts. And so what we'll see is, you know, we have the same guy, same name, in eight different states making campaign contributions for the same amount. And then we see that the person is registered to vote in all eight states and they're casting vote by mail ballots. So
unbelievable. Now, you just brought up something I think is really important. First of all, a lot of these operatives did come through Obama, but I'm of the belief at this point that the global I call them the global billionaire oligarchy. A lot of these people are the ones you're talking about that are, you know, the real funders of this stuff. They have a vested interest, in my opinion, of destroying America from within. They're post-America. They're involved with the multinationals, corporations, and I call it the international banking cartel. But I do want to explain what you're saying, because you got to think about it that way from the RICO statute point. So what I understand about RICO, when I was younger, I had a lot of friends that were mafia adjacent, I call them. But the RICO statute, our government right now is a giant mafia, as far as I'm concerned. So the reason that the RICO statute was used to take down the mob families in New York was because you couldn't get to the boss, because under the boss is the underboss. But then under the underboss are the captains, five families, five captains. Under them are, you know, a whole bunch of what they call soldiers. Under them are a whole bunch of people that want to be soldiers. So the real crimes are committed by the people at the very, very bottom. The second people are the ones that watch it and enforce it. The ones above are the, if anything goes down, it stops there. It never gets above the captain level. And if it gets to the captain level, because it's so insulated in this thing. And that is really why they went with the RICO in New York City when they took down the five families, because they couldn't get to the boss. And I think we're dealing with the exact same thing in what you're talking about, that they have so many groups, like you brought up, Act Blue and Win Red, but there's also, you brought up, what's that one that you brought up, like a Code Pink or any of these groups, like a Human Rights Campaign or the Tides. There's so many of them, and mostly on the left, but there's a bunch on the right as well. And these are uniparty. They're all globalists as far as I'm concerned. So that's really what we're talking about when we say that this is a RICO case. Have you found direct links that this is, in fact, a RICO case and who the players are, whether you can say it here or not? Do we know this RICO case if we ever got it to court? The narrative is falling apart, but as it does, there's so much of this fraudulent disinformation, misinformation, censorship coming from the globalists. And what we need to do is be focused on the facts, cut through everything, be discerning, and get it first and foremost out there to everyone. It is important that you know what is going on. Censorship is getting nuts. You guys know it. There's accounts all over the place that are fake, that are not me. I know you guys send me emails and I really appreciate it. And you report it and it's on Telegram and Instagram and Twitter and they're not me. So I'm super excited to announce We the People with Mel Kay. Be the first to join. It's a VIP community, just you and me behind a paywall, no trolls, no nothing. We get to know each other. I will give you the facts first. I break a lot of stories a long time before other people. We can talk about past, present, future, history, what we're doing now, solutions for going forward, what 2024 is going to look like. I'm going to do breaking news, do a lot of deep dives. I'm going to bring that information to you guys first in a live Q&A every week. So please click the link below and join me over there. We are going to create a community that is censorship proof. It's cancel proof. It's truth. It's transparency. It's on the road to God, country, justice, everything that we want in one place. This is the most incredible, amazing time to be alive. As hard as it seems and as difficult as the battle has been for you guys and definitely for me, all I know is that we all are part of the solution. We are all involved and invested, and you guys have the passion that I have. So let's join together on live Q&As once a week with me, Mel Kay, we the people of the United States, taking back this nation. This is so exciting, guys. I've been dying to do this, and we finally got the technology right. So please join me. Click the link below. Can't wait to get started.
We know it is a RICO case. We know it is a RICO operation. We are working with some very good people in law enforcement and some constitutional people who actually care.
Right.
And they've been the victims of the Uniparty globalist RICO machine, and they are not happy. Yeah. You know, I'm one of those people who's not happy, and they erred in their deplatforming of me. They erred in their debanking of me.
Yep.
And I'm not going away. And we're going to fight this all the way.
Well, that's who's going to be fighting are the people that, because, you know, there's so many people out there and we're dealing with this. You know, you go back to the Nazi Germany. I wasn't a Jew. I wasn't a communist. I wasn't a socialist. And then they came for me, you know, that whole thing where it's like, they're coming for everyone. If we don't stop.
They are.
I do believe that we're winning because they seem very winning the ideological battle because they're so, and this, I believe the globalists, billionaire oligarchy that has captured our nation are running all operations, destroying America from within in one way or another. The money all goes to the same people that you identify. But one thing you did break up, and this is about breaking up your company, because it was a big part of this. You know, we saw through the Twitter files, there's a whole Google files, the Alphabet files nobody's seen yet. We certainly saw with Meta and all of that, Twitter. But when they were taking you out, they were taking out a bunch of competitors, but a bunch of big tech companies that could have been disruptors in all of this. And it was very, very, I believe, because you're not the only one I know that this happened to that had that kind of company. They were just eliminating anyone that would ever even see this. But then we had Sizer, which came into the mix, and that Chris Krebs, you know, it's so funny. It was the most secure election ever. And then you look it up and you look up at the Twitter files and you're like, Aspen Institute. Oh, Chris Krebs. There he is again. And there he is again. Yeah. So this guy had a lot to do with it, and Eric and all of this. And like you brought up, this has a lot to do with the Obama administration and a lot of things they put in place then. So how did big tech, you know, from your point of view with what happened to you, at what point, because, you know, I'm sure you saw Elon Musk was on Rogan the other day, and he said that when he lifted the hood on Twitter, he was like, it was basically a Democrat Party, globalist, in my opinion, operation, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you start to realize, like, I'm trying to do something good for free speech, for an honest platform. I learned how to do this with something that's more important again now, which is tracking mortgages. And I'm hitting resistance at every front. When did you start to realize they were not letting people into the tech space? And if you were in, they were getting you out.
So We see the very beginning of this back in the late 90s, actually, with the creation of Google, when Clinton was in. And they funded through DARPA. Google right. ended up getting a big pile of money. Yes. Then you had your PayPal, right? PayPal was working with the FBI. That you have your PayPal mafia. You've got yep. your Peter Thiel. You get your Reid Hoffman. Oh, by the way, Reid Hoffman. He is huge in all of these illegal campaign mm-hmm. finance contributions. You've got Steve Jurvetson's ex-wife, Carla Jurvetson, who's behind the Emily's List.
Oh, God. And he's just as bad as her. Like, I've dug into him, yeah. too. This is what yeah. I call the globalist billionaire oligarchy that has taken over America. Those guys are, they're at the top of the rung. And we see them.
Yep.
But so you saw PayPal this mafia, back in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. So your PayPal mafia, that includes the founders of YouTube. That yep. I mean, you know, pick one. You know, I mean, and this
it
is like
a legitimate... also Elon Musk, folks. So, you know, don't be so,
So, I mean, think about it like this, right? Who benefits? Because I always follow the money.
Yes.
And who's benefited from this green agenda? Electric cars. Who makes electric cars?
I know.
And so, you know, the thing with Peter Thiel, right? Peter Thiel, they took the technology that they had developed at PayPal, and they founded a company called Palantir. And yeah. so Palantir needed, it was a data mining company, and they needed a mechanism by which to feed it. And so DARPA had this program called LifeLog. LifeLog, that once people found out that there was a thing called LifeLog, they got really mad and there was an outcry. So LifeLog shut down. And then next thing you know, this company, Facebook starts up.
The next
and
day.
And you know who?
The next day.
Yep. The next day. And you know who the two seed investors were? The two seed investors were Peter Thiel and Reid Hoffman. And Reid Hoffman gave Mark Zuckerberg, it was like 12 or 15 grand, but he let him use a critical patent called the 6 degrees patent that he had gotten from a company called Friendster. And they use this, and he used it.
Oh, wow.
And he used this, right, to help build LinkedIn. And so part of this operation that we see, right, Peter Thiel used that to really get deep in with InQtel, which was the venture capital firm for the CIA. And then at the same time, Palantir and Facebook followed the same venture capital path for the most part, which, by the way, Reid Hoffman is a general partner at one of those currently.
And they never get investigated. I mean, also, I hope the folks understand Reid Hoffman is funding a lot of the lawsuits, including the hilarious and ridiculous twisted lawsuit of E. Jean Carroll against the president. The lawsuit is nuts. And he's funding that. He's funding a lot of it. They all hate Trump so much, except for, you know, Thiel played both sides. I don't really know. But like I said, I don't believe that they have an allegiance to anyone, America or anything. These are full globalists, multinational corporation. They fly above the radar, these guys. But Reid Hoffman has been particularly egregious for decades in the manipulation of our country. And they're never held accountable, because until we have somebody that is going to fight, you know, to hold these people accountable, you know, we are where we are. So what happened with you that you, so you're entering this space, maybe not knowing that it was a fully closed, controlled InQtel DARPA run octopus.
Yes. I ended up finding out. I had some friends that did really interesting stuff. And, I ended up finding out, and this is quite a while ago. And I was like, oh man, I'm like, but I'm just going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep pushing anyways, because it's the right thing to do.
Good for you.
And as I was explaining to him what I was building, he's like, oh, I can hook you up with Peter Thiel. I was like, oh, you can. Oh, okay. And I kind of passed on that opportunity.
Yeah.
Rumble didn't, but that's okay.
I know.
So here's the thing, right? I believe personally that Peter Thiel is on the right side of this paradigm, allegedly.
Seems like it because Thiel
was on the board of Facebook when a lot of this nefarious stuff was going on. But Peter Thiel, right, and Palantir, their thing is data. And their thing is to understand what's really going on. So they know what the sentiment is, and they know that the pitchforks and torches and people are buying ammo and people are buying guns because they're mad.
Yeah.
They're really mad. And he doesn't want to be on that other end of that. That's my belief.
I agree with that, sure. You know, that's the hard part is the data mining. See, you can explain to it better than most people. This is how you got to where you are. Most people don't realize that every single one of these social networks was always and always has been and always will be about surveillance and data mining. And as AI advances, there is nothing that the government does not know about you. When they claim that they're looking for somebody for days, I just laugh and I think, oh, God. And also, know, right? We walk into it, like I said earlier, this is with what you were talking about with Act Blue to Win Red. We walk into it just checking boxes. Nobody's reading the 45 pages worth of disclosures about them stealing your data and your pictures and your location and everything you buy. But, you know, that really, the data mining is very dangerous. And the crazy part is, I wonder if you ever thought about this. We should be compensated for our data, in my opinion. This is theft.
Absolutely.
To me.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's a great business model for them. They steal, they take your data, and then, you know, then they limit your freedoms. And so it's kind of like ChatGPT, right? Mm-hmm. So ChatGPT over the weekend, they pretty much said, hey, if you're building a business using our platform, it's pretty much not going to fly. And, you know, so basically you're going to pay us to give your data and train our models. And that's what we're doing.
Right.
And so I kind of, you know, we kind of laugh about that. And it's like, so when I was deplatformed, yeah, I was mad because I had millions of fans and followers, you know? I mean, we were like the group of us, we were the social media influencers before anybody knew what that was. You know?
I know another person that's in the same world as you, and the same thing happened. And you know what? There was no recourse, and to this day, there hasn't been. And he's tried a lot, but we are dealing with a mafia, like Cash Patel comes from the government gangsters. And until we break that mafia, but it can be done, and it was done, and it was not believed to be done before.
We're making strides. We're making strides because here's the thing: at the end of the day, all government power is derived from the consent of the governed. And if they don't have your consent or my consent, then they have to manufacture consent. And that's where the censorship comes in. That's where what they're doing comes in. That's why they have to have the fraud machine to make people think that this is the number of votes. Because, you know, one of the things that I've been working on isn't just the campaign finance stuff. It's the machine level data on the voting systems. Right. And what we found here in Florida was shocking, like blow your mind shocking. So in Florida, during the 2020 election, Donald Trump legitimately took every single county in Florida, legitimately by a very wide margin. Okay. But the election fraud machine, the globalists, they needed to perpetrate a myth that it was close.
Right.
And they have some people who have Republican next to their name, okay, who participated in this. And so take where I live in Pinellas County. They had many, 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 many thousands of blank ballots cast and damaged ballots that had to be recreated. And so many, in fact, that, people got really mad here where I'm at. Because, you see, Donald Trump lost on paper by 1,241 votes in Pinellas County. We know that didn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
We know it didn't happen. But we're seeing this going on all over the place.
Right.
So we just have to hold them accountable. We have to demand that they give us the audit logs for these machines. We have to demand vote by mail ballot goes away in its entirety. We have to demand that they clean the voter rolls. And we what we really need to do is have one day voting with a photo ID, paper ballots, no machines. That's the solution to the problem.
I know. And you know what, though? I think we talked about this last time. I certainly talked about it with Jovan as well, that part of what happened with Bush Gore, it seems, you know, you look back, you know, at this point and you think, oh, wait a minute. They knew exactly what they were doing, because part of that, because somebody that was in the Nixon administration told me that they brought in the machines to begin with to cheat. And then that during the Bush Gore hanging chads, all that stuff, that really the underlying goal of that entire debacle was to convince the people that the humans could not be trusted to do it themselves, that they needed the machines, that the machines were the solution, and that that would solidify going forward that you can't trust the human to count the truth. And now the truth is that is the only thing you can trust. And this is happening on a lot of fronts, I think, in our world. They want us to go all towards technocracy and AI and transhumanism and all of that. And I think the backlash, like you're saying, is no, you know what? You want to build back better and destroy everything that is, that works, that has worked for decades and centuries. But the truth is that stuff works, and it's more honest and it's controllable. I'm sure you just saw, I wonder your thoughts about this. This ridiculous AI, first of all, Eric Schmidt, if you people do not know, is somebody I talk about here that I think is equally nefarious to Bill Gates as far as the oligarch billionaire, globalists that have captured America. For the people that don't know, he was the CEO of Google, and then he started Google China. He's now Schmidt Futures, which is appears to be running the AI and back end in the science and technology department of the Biden administration. Well, they just signed an executive order that I believe is written by him, by Eric Schmidt and Obama, with a little bit of input from Eric Schmidt's pal Kissinger, that the government, in this executive order, will completely control AI. Did you see this executive order that came out?
I did. But you know, here's the fallacy in that, right? They're not a legitimate regime. They don't have the consent of the governed. And I've removed my consent. And I think every American needs to tell them, I remove my consent. Because we know that Joe Biden did not win.
Right.
I mean, I've seen the data. And I've seen how they cheated, and I know beyond any reasonable doubt how they did it and what they're doing. And Joe Biden didn't win. And most of the selected officials today, they really didn't win either.
I know.
So what we need to do is we need to demand the audit logs for all these systems. And you know, we're fighting in Maryland right now really hard. We caught them on eight different ways from Saturday. We caught them.
Right.
And so what we've been saying is they give us this excuse. And then I laugh at them. And I say, well, you know, I've actually read the operator manuals and the admin manuals for all these voting systems. And what you're telling us is a lie. So, but you know what? I'm going to give you an opportunity to prove me wrong, because I want you to prove me wrong. Show me the documentation and just show me the audit logs. No, you can't see the audit logs. Why? It's the law. It's a public record. Public record is the
public
log
record
of every. Yeah, it's a public record of our election. So they're desperately, I mean, we got lawsuits all over the place. We got lawsuits here in Florida. We got lawsuits about to be filed in Maryland. Actually, we have one lawsuit filed in Maryland. We're about to have another one filed in Maryland. We've got multiple lawsuits going on in Wisconsin right now.
Right.
And
well, you know what?
They're going to have a.
I want to remind the audience about these lawsuits is the people that are cheating and manipulating the cheating are paying to make them not happen or to drown people out of drown out money. And the hard part that I've learned, Chris, during all of this, which is very disturbing, but I get it, is that the conservative side, the billionaire class on the conservative side, I don't think benefit quite as much from the globalist, from the end of America and the globalist takeover, global governance, as the billionaires on the left do. And it's a big business for them. A lot of different things, from homelessness to open borders to the healthcare, death care, all this stuff. Big business for a lot of the billionaires that run the globalist oligarchy in America on the left. Very hard to raise money on the right from the rich, right people. I don't know why. I guess they also feel much more about, well, we're the conservatives. We do the right thing, or, you know, that's not the way we should do it. We're going to, but raising money on the right is so much harder than, and you know, I've talked to Roger Stone about this too, and other people. It's very difficult. The left, if they know it's going to benefit this oligarch billionaire class, that's really fully, most of them, they identify as left. They're not left. They identify as left, but they put money into all that stuff because it helps them. So let's talk a little bit about, can people help? Because if people ask me all the time what they can do, and I say, you got your time, your money, and your vote. Protect all three and use them as weapons for yourself to keep save this country. So how can people get involved in these lawsuits? And can they, how can they find out where they are? Maybe if they're in their area, even if they don't have money, they can show up at the hearings, they can write letters, they can just get engaged. So is there a place people can go to find out about if there is a lawsuit in their area, or what lawsuits are going on, to see if maybe there's a viable opportunity where they are?
So one of the, I'm working with two nonprofits currently. I'm working with Election Watch in Wisconsin, and I'm working with the Justice Society in Florida. Wisconsin, you know, we're doing great stuff in Wisconsin. They need help to fund Florida and in Georgia and in Maryland, because some of these cases, they're being brought by people like me, pro se. And we've got some good attorneys who aren't afraid of losing their bar cards, but they cost money. And so we've got Darlene Swaffer. She's fighting it out over in.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Chris, where can people follow you and support you and keep up with your work and what you're doing and get involved? Where's the best place to follow you?
So I have a Substack where I post really great stuff. It's called the Immutable Truth Elections Substack.
Great.
And I also am on Twitter. Elon doesn't like me that much because
he doesn't like
I
me
speak
either.
Truth. So he throttles all of my stuff so nobody sees it. But you can see it's Immutable Christ at Twitter.
Great.
And that's you know, and the other place, of course, is thejusticesociety.com. And, you know, get signed up there. And if you want to volunteer, if you want to donate money, that's a great place to do it.
Great. Justice Society. We'll put all the links below. Chris Gleason, you're great. Keep up the great work. You've been fighting this battle for a lot longer, but it's about truth and justice, but also freedom. And you are a big, big freedom fighter. And I'm really grateful. And thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me on, Mel. You're great.
Thank you. See you again. Hey, guys. Thank you for watching the show. I just want to remind you yet again that we really need to be very cautious of what is going on with the economy, both here and internationally. Most of us know that the BRICS nations are looking for a gold-backed currency to dethrone the dollar being the world reserve currency. They have an event coming up on August 22nd. The BRICS nations are all going. There are also 13 other nations that would like to join the BRICS nations. And this is not something to not pay attention to. We have to make sure that you protect your savings. And that is why I have chosen Beverly Hills Precious Metals. That is where I have gotten my gold and silver. I leave it in a depository. I know it's there. I've replaced it with my savings I've put there to make sure that I weather the storm no matter what, be it the central bank digital currency, the BRICS nations, the dollar goes into collapse, whatever may happen. I know 401k, IRA, backed by gold, as well as having my savings, at least an amount of my savings in gold in the depository or sent to you at home, is the best way to make sure you maintain peace of mind and make sure that your savings and everything that you've earned is safe no matter what comes. We will get through this. All is not lost. America will return to greatness as it always has been. But between now and then, we have to be very smart and very cognizant of what's going on. So please go to Mel K Gold, or go to the MelKShow.com partners page and go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals. And my friend Andrew will take care of you. He's got a great team. Gold is the way to go right now. And I know that no matter what, I'm safe. So please do that for yourselves. We really care about you here. You're more like family and friends. And I hear from all of you a lot. So I just want to make sure that you guys are doing something proactive to be prepared. All will be well, but take care of yourself now. Being prepared is always a good thing.
I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better being prepared for whatever's coming. Every day I hear something new. Something's coming from the CDC. Something's coming from the FDA. Who's trying to take over our healthcare system? All this craziness. And what I know is that one man really changed my life, how I look at everything that's happening to me health-wise. And that was Dr. Zelenko. He was a good friend of mine, a good friend of the show. And he came up with the most amazing product. Z-Stack has been a game changer for us. We have not been sick since we've been on it. We take it regularly. If we feel like we're coming down with something, will double up. But he has all new products over at the website. God rest his soul. He did not leave us unprepared, and that is very important for you to prepare. So he's got Z Shield. He's got a kid's Z Stack, which is awesome. He's got Z Flu, Z Detox. He's got all kinds of things. He always said to me, your immune system must be clean, resilient, and resistant. This matters the most. And what I can say on top of that is that he supported me. He supported free speech. He supported medical freedom. He supported personal liberty, and everything that I believe in, he believed in. He inspired me to be myself, to speak up, to speak out. And what matters is that you are feeling healthy, whole, clean, clear, focused, and that your immune system is protected from anything that comes our way. And Z-Stack is the best way to do that. Please stock up on Z-Stack. Go to themelkayshow.com. Go to our partners page. Goes down to Z-Stack. That also supports the show. When you buy from our partners, these great people, especially Dr. Zelenko, who is dear to me, you are supporting the show and keeping us going. And I know that truth, freedom, and the First Amendment matter to you. They mattered to him. They mattered to me. So make sure you're always healthy. You're always out there. You're always standing up. Be brave. Courage is contagious.